Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Ed Dufresne. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
Well, I have a message that God gave me for tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, remember that the older man said, now, if you heard it before, that means I'm watering it. If you haven't heard it, then I'm planting a seed. Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to go over. I thought the pastor was going to preach my sermon. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of doubt and unbelief. There's a lot of things that people could be worried about. Now go over to Philippians 4:19. Well, I heard that. Faith don't come by heard. You got to hear it over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is this live stream? Okay, just checking. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply. So we do know we have a supply. You got to believe that you have a supply. I have a supply. I have a supply that everything I need for what God called me to do. Now, I don't have a supply for things I add to my ministry that he didn't ordain. You're on your own. I have a supply for every one of my personal needs. I have a series we didn't talk about, I think, back there, how to be rich God's way. Rich means having a full supply. When you learn how to do it God's way, when you learn how to do it the way that he says in the Word of God, and you know and you got faith in that you have a supply for your personal needs. See, 10 years ago when I was down preaching down in Peru for Jim Andrews, and I was praying about our building and our property that we had there, and God came in my room for several hours and taught me about how to prosper God's way. One thing he said, they just never asked me. Ask and you shall receive. Everyone that asketh what?
Receive.
Might get it?
No.
Huh? Maybe?
No.
If you're a good boy?
No.
Good girl?
No.
What did it say? Amen. Everyone that asketh, receive it. So that's me. Everything that I ask according to the Word of God, I get.
Amen.
Well, that's kind of braggadocio. You just never know what God's going to do. Yes, I do. I know. He said right here. And if he didn't give me a supply, then he's lying. And he's not lying. When you realize that every one of you have a supply. Now, you got to qualify for a supply. First of all, you got to be born again. You got to be God's child. You know, it's God's idea to have a family. And he's not a deadbeat dad. I said he's not. He didn't skip out on his child support. But you got to do it his way. I said you got to do it his way. He said, it looks like that I'm a deadbeat dad, but it's not on my side. It's on their side. I've already given them a supply, and they have to use their faith to put it in operation. But the other qualification is you got a supply, but you got to have a need for the supply to eliminate the need. Any of you got any needs? Well, then you qualify. If all your needs are met, then the supply won't work. The supply is for the need. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So that the qualification, if you have a need, well, I qualify for this, Lord. I qualify for this need. We do it in our church and we do it in our ministry. Every year before we come to the first of the year, we ask him what we need for next year. See, once you ask him, that's part of... See, you got to go by house rules. You say, well, I believe. Well, if it ain't in line with the Word of God, your believing is no good. Amen. He loves you. He's a heavenly Father that cares about you and loves you. He cares about... affectionately affectionately he cares for me. And he has given me a supply. You just got to learn how to get it in operation and get it to you. Now, everything that you need, everything you need on this earth is not going to rain out of heaven. It's already here. There in the garden, it was his idea to have a family. I said it was his idea to have a family. Let's go over to the book of beginnings, way over here. And he says, I have a heart for fellowship to have a family. So he created Adam. And then he gave him a helpmate and a partner. Hallelujah. And he said, now everything that is in this garden belongs to you, Adam, because every one of your needs will be met. But there's one thing. Don't touch that tree. I believe, you can't prove it, but you can't disprove it. I believe that was the tithe tree. Don't you touch that tree. That belongs to me. You know the tithe belongs to God? Well, I don't believe that. Who cares what you don't believe? That's why you're so needy. Yeah, I'll come over to you, praise God. Amen. Well, we need to say it straight. Amen. You're not the flesh church. Get offended for the word's sake. Amen. You know, be a good student. When somebody says something you don't like and it's true, just suck it up. And be a good sheep. And learn from it. Amen. There's just too many whiners today. Even the preachers are whining. Wee, 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 wee. Bunch of little babies. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen, you big baby. If you learn to get in the boat and say, I'm going to the other side and go to sleep and face rest like Jesus. Glory be to God. So he said, everything that you need is right here. And he says, but Adam, I'm going to let you name everything. You put a name on it. You put a name on it. Because you're going to need to call that. When you need it, just call for it. And you put a name on it. Amen. Amen. That's all you do is call it when you need it. But we do know that he committed high treason. And we do know that he turned everything over because he touched the tree that God told him not to touch. Boy, if Christians have learned, don't touch the things he says not to touch. Just, it's amazing that for this cause, there's so many that are weak and sickly and die and don't make it because they don't even find their part what they're supposed to do in the body of Christ. Do you know this church in 1 year, if every family in here went out and won a soul and won a whole family, you could double, then the next day you could keep going like that? I appreciate the faith message, but a lot of people use it as being selfish when there's a dying world all around us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, he touched the tree. He disobeyed God. And then he said, all right, he drove him out of the garden. Now, I often thought many times, now, Lord, we wouldn't be in this mess. Why didn't you just wipe them out and make two more? Well, I don't know how you think. That's why I was thinking. And the Lord, now listen, the Lord said, yeah, and that's what the abortion clinics think. I'm committed to my family. I got a problem here. I got to get my family back. But he said, now you're going to have to go out. Then he said, Mr. Devil, I'm going to get you. You mess with my family. You don't mess with the children of God. And he said, I'm going to get you. And the one that's going to get you is going to bruise your head. Now, who's the God of this world now? Adam was, but now Satan is. Well, then through all those years, they did things through blood covenant and all that and everything else. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And he walks on this earth as a man. None of hallelujah. And he walked as a man. He was God, but he walked as a man. He worked. And then he paid the price for you and me, and he went down. What was he going down for? To pay the price for you and I, our sins?
Amen.
3 days and three nights. People say, well, Jesus didn't go to hell. Honey, if he didn't, you're gone.
Now,
don't come and fuss with me because you won't catch me anyway.
That's right.
I asked God about it. He said, well, buddy Rub, if I didn't, then you're in trouble. But he went down to pay the price. I said, he went down to pay the price. He's down there for 3 days and three nights. And then God said, the price has been paid. That's enough. Then that light started shining in hell. And the demons screaming. And God, see, people say, Jesus and the devil had a fight. There was no fight. He went right over to Satan where he was sitting and bam, kicked him right in the head. And bruised his head. He bruised the authority that he had. He put down the authority that Adam gave him. And what did he do? He took back the privilege that Adam had of calling things in. In the Old Testament, you do what God tells you to do under that blood, under the animal's blood and everything else. And then he would open up a window. If you would tithe and obey, he'd open up a window. And then he would rebuke the devourer. But on this side of the cross, he said, come boldly. Come boldly. They couldn't come boldly. Jesus went up and all that sin all the way to the throne. He washed all that sin. And now that rented in that temple. And he walked right and praise God. That means we just come in boldly and ask our Father. I don't get blessed by little windows no more. And the God is retired from rebuking the devil because he said before he left, he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on this earth will be loose. We got our power of calling back. We got our power of calling back. Woo! Hallelujah. Anytime you preach out of the Old Testament, if you don't bring the doctrine through Calvary, you'll always be jumping a hoop and going through a loop and jumping a wall and fighting everybody. I want you to know it's done, praise God. The devil's under my feet. You tell the devil to get your hands off of your finances. Now go over to Matthew 6. My God, I already preached myself happy. Boy, this cup will warm this place up, I'll tell you. It's always good to be on the tail. They did all the plowing. All right, go over to Matthew 6:25. Glory to God. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What's that, worrying? Don't take the thought. In other words, if you're thinking about it all the time, you're worrying about it. And worry is a sin. It's doubt and unbelief. If you're talking about it all the time, then you're worrying about it. Hello? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life of what you shall eat or what you should drink, nor yet for your body and what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, what's behold mean? Huh? What do you think he's putting? That's red print. You think he's putting filler in there?
No.
He says, if you're worrying, go look at the birds. I literally do that. Oh, that's ridiculous. Isn't that what he said? Amen. I told Mitch, I said, look at all those geese over here. You know, I said, look at all those geese. That's just a reminder to put us in reminder. God take care of them. I'm better than a bird. And I, of course, I don't eat worms, but I eat steak. Devil eats worms. I don't eat worms. Amen. Look at the birds. I tell people, oh, man, it's heavy, heavy. I said, well, you need to go to the park. We got a park on our property that we have our church picnics and everything. I said, you go down there and sit on those picnic men. Watch the birds. That's what he said right here. And if he'll take care of a bird, he'll take care of you. He didn't call me and then starve me out. He didn't call me and give me a commission and then starve me out. That ain't a very good employer. Don't give me the equipment. Don't give me the wood. Don't give me the steel to build what he's telling me to do. When I was a carpenter, I'd get dispatched out of the union hall. I'd bring some hand tools. And that's what you are, a hand tool for God to use. But then it was their job to supply the concrete and everything else. It ain't my job to support my ministry. My job is to knowing that I have the law of saying back. That Adam lost. And everything out there has a name. And it's my job to call it in because it belongs to me. I have a supply. You 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 have a supply for your ministry. Did God call you, preacher? Did God call you, preacher? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm preaching myself happy. And which of you taking thought can add one? See, you got to understand the way the devil gets to you is through your thought life. You know, have you ever had the devil tell you he's going to kill you? Well, if he had permission to do it, he had already killed you. He can't kill you unless you let him. See, when a thought comes, and I have a sermon on that because my mother was in an mental institution and she meditated on one thought because her daddy committed suicide because my mother was 15 and she was pregnant with me and she wasn't married. And my grandfather went out and committed suicide over that and left a note. The reason I killed myself because you dishonored me. Now you think about that for a 15-year-old girl. You think about that weighing on her and wasn't saved. Wasn't saved and just kept thought on that devil beating on her and beating on her until it drove her into a mental institution. When I was just a little guy, I had to take care of the kids because my mother was always sick. But because, and of course what she died at 45, but before she died she gave her heart to the Lord. I was saved by then. My mom and dad are up there waiting on me at the gate when I come busting through. Dad Summerall and Hagen and all of them are up there. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a time. But we got a job to do here. Praise the Lord. I get talking about it. I want to go now. But I don't think I'll take the bus tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I got too much to do. Well, until I get satisfied. You know, with long life. Praise the Lord. Somebody said the other day, told me, well, that scripture, you're taking it out of context. Well, what scripture you? Drop dead scripture or something? He went out and hung himself? Is that what you... No, I'm standing on for long life. If you want to hang yourself and die premature... Hallelujah. Well, you got to watch your thought life because that's what he'll come. You start believing, you start saying and calling and believing in your heart what you say will come to pass, and you call those things in that everything has a name. That's why Jesus said, the word says his name is above every name. The reason why is because he took back what Adam lost, his privileges of calling. And gave it back to you and me. Because nothing will be done on earth until you say so. Amen. You're back in authority. I said, you're back in authority. Amen. When you're sitting there whining, well, you know, we're on a fixed income. Well, who fixed it? I get a good salary. I find out what other, you know, TV ministries get. And they... Most of them get more than I do, but it's a fair salary. But I make three times as much just by my saying. That's right. I mentor pastors. I teach them. I just get a little box and I say, now this is what you're getting paid, you know, $100,000, $200,000 or whatever it is. And then I put a on the top and out, and I teach them how to get out of that just by their saying and calling these things in.
Amen.
Now, Lord, I need $150,000. Well, you already asked him. He said the one thing you do is you ask. That's part of prayer. Then it's your job to talk to it and get it moving. Didn't he say, remember when he went over there and talked to the tree? He answered and said unto it. So the tree said something. You don't go around answering things, do you? Do you? When you went out the hotel, did you answer the door? I mean, just... No, he answered it. Why? It said something. What did it say? I can't prove it, but you can't disprove it. It said that we're not going to give you breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And then he said something to it. There's things that will talk to you. Things will answer you. Like not having enough money in your checking account. That is telling you you're in lack. You don't got enough money. How could you afford? I would never say that again because I got rebuked. He said, your words are stout against me. Amen. You know, just saying your tithing don't work. He said over there, your words are stout against me.
Amen.
When you have negative talk as a child of God, your words are stout against God. I don't want to offend him. I'll offend the unbeliever or the doubters. I'd rather offend them than offend my Father in heaven because Abraham said, don't let anybody say they made me rich. And I'm like Abraham. I'm rich. I'm blessed. I own two businesses and God told me how to do it. See, you got to understand, you got to speak over your barns. You command the supply to get in there for it to be a blessing. When you learn how to do things the way that God does things. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon and all his glory was not. Wherefore have God so clothed the grass of the field? See, I learned how to get clothes. See, talk about his goodness. Talk about his love towards you instead of talking about the problems all the time. Just ask him once. And then you do the speaking and call the things in. Calling those things as be as though they are.
Amen. Amen.
I got dogs and I call their name and they come.
Amen.
I got things that belong to me, my supplies out there, and I call them in.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Tell you, this stuff just turns me on. Is this October 1st? I made it. I just finished up 44 years of ministry, and now I'm going in my 45th year. And I'm still excited about the Word of God. I haven't let people get inside of me and get bitter or anything like that. I've had a lot of opportunities to get bitter. I've had family leave. I've had whoever. I've had the critics say he'll never make it. But I'm still here. Why? Because I put the Word of God in my life. Woo! My God, you guys really got this place going here. You guys are on and popping. Amen. Wherefore, if God's so great, he'll clothe you. Aren't you better than they? Absolutely. Therefore, take no thought, saying. Now, how do you know if you took the thought, if you're talking it, then you took it. And when you took it, then you know you're worrying about it. And worry is a sin. It's in the same category as fornication and adultery. It's just that God will deal with you with spiritual sins faster than you would with physical sins. Don't come and fuss with me about that. I don't got time to teach on that. That's right. Amen. Don't let your words be stout against your supply. How about that?
That's right.
You quote that scripture, and then you're talking against it. Where are we going to get the money? That's what he says right here. Don't take the thought saying, how are we going to get it? Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? How are we going to get it? Where we, you know, we need so much. God told us to go to Africa. We need 50,000. Well, once you ask, then you speak to it. Because right here in this same, the seventh chapter, he talks about the saying. And then he gets over here and explains about, I tell my servant to do this and it doeth it. If you just speak the word. Well, everything that has a name is to serve you. I'm not to serve money. I'm not going to get out and beg for money. No, I have a supply. Well, what if the money didn't come in? It's fine with me. I didn't ask to go travel all over the world for these 45 years. I just go home and retire. No, I really mean that. Amen. There's no use sitting there struggling and barely making it and have to show pictures of starving girls and boys and you know, and try to get people in their motion to give to me. I just share what I'm doing. It's what I do with my Eagle program. I just share. And if they don't take it, then they're the ones that are going to get hurt because it's a wonderful program. You get the prophet's reward. I report, you decide. Fox News. My job is to be a reporter. It ain't my job to keep your britches on. It ain't my job to make you pay tithes. My job is to do the reporting. It ain't my job to get you saved. I just got to tell you the good news. Just make a good decision. Glory to God. Woo! Well, he said, but... Then he says, after all these things, do the world system work? That's why the world system's all messed up. For your heavenly Father know you have need of these things. And he made up a supply. When Jesus, when he left this earth, he gave it an inheritance. But, look at this. But, what's but mean? Not B-U-T-T. B-U-T. What's but mean here? Somebody tell me. Huh? Uh-huh. Seek ye what? Huh? This is where a lot of Christians make it. The kingdom of God or the way that God does things. In other words, you're going to have to put his word first. You're going to have to put the tithe first. You know, I know churches that don't tithe. I know ministries that don't tithe. I tithe off of everything. That's why I'm so blessed.
That's right.
Come on. Glory be to God. Take that, devil. Pretty good for 67, huh? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory be to God. The way, but seek ye first. In other words, how God does things. Well, he's telling us here by the saying. Now, we get accused of just preaching that you can have what you say. There's partly truth to that. Just saying it ain't going to get it. What you're saying, you got to believe in your heart what you say, it'll come to pass. Just saying it. I mean, you can say things out of your mind. But if you do say it enough, what the Bible says that the tongue is a ready writer, it'll write it on your heart. If you keep confessing the word of God, even if you do it out of your mind, the word, but after a while, it'll get into your heart. What's written on your heart is what you believe. If you keep writing on your heart, you know, I'm too wide, I'm too tall, and you have a bad self-confidence about yourself. You'll be putting yourself down, writing on your heart. I've had people that wrote it on their heart all their life. They knew they kept saying they're going to die at 45 because all the men in our family die at 45. And when they get 45, nothing wrong with them. They just die. Because they wrote it on their heart. And whatever you try to do, they believe it. Amen. Well, I just want you to know if anybody's going to get blessed on this earth by God, it's going to be me. Because I'm his favorite. You're supposed to say, no, I am. Amen. I said amen. But seek ye first, how he does things. And, Now, what's an and mean? There's something else connected with this.
Amen.
I flunked everything in school. I got kicked out. Broke my dad's heart. I went to a sheet metal apprentice school. I got kicked out of that school because I came drunk all the time before I got saved. But here it says, and. In other words, something else is attached to this. And his righteousness. His right. In other words, if you look there, now we preach in righteousness, blessed, prayed, right. We've been made righteous through the blood. But there's another word here, being right and doing right. And the Lord brought out, you're going to have to be right about putting things first. Or the other and that's coming up won't work. And all these things, what? These material things will be added unto you. So we need to go back up and learn a little bit here. We need to learn how to answer and how to say. No, that ain't my thought, Mr. Devil. All the money that I need, what God called me to do, it'll all come in. Amen. Devil, get your hands off of my money. Money, you come to me in the name of Jesus. He spoke to that fig tree and it was made out of wood. $100 bills made out of wood. And when Adam put a name on it, he also, God created an ear for everything that has a name to respond to faith. Everything here responded to faith when God spoke to it. So it has an ear to hear. And what you need, it has an ear because it's a supply and it belongs to you. And it's waiting to hear from home what belongs to you. Instead of griping, complaining, worrying, you need to do calling. And then believe what you say will come to pass. Amen. And believe that you have a survival. See, you got to go by the rules. And. Amen. You got to be right about the way he does things. Then the next and will work for you. And all these things will be added unto you. That was easy. Everybody makes the word. Some people make the word so complicated. When you know you have a loving Father. And he is my Father. He's not God to me. He's my Father. And he loves me. And he's interested in every area of my life. And every time I said, Lord, in that one area of my life, I need help. I talk to him just like I would. I talk to him better than I talk to my own dad. Because he loves me. I remember you went with us to Abacon. We have a pastor there, and he has 150 pastors under him. And we went one year. And I don't know if you was on that trip. The last one. This was the one before that. And I was in my room. I was 62 or 63, somewhere around in there. And I said, Lord, what's my end? I know you spoke to me that I'd grow old. I said, but what about my end now? What, you know, there's so many younger ministers coming up, and I've been at this for many years. And I wasn't complaining. I was just wanting to know what he wanted me to do. Do you want me to just stay at the church and have a Bible school? What do you want me to do? And he spoke to me. He said, no, you're just getting going. He said, I can't afford to have you off of the field. Now, do you think about that? Like he's lack of helpers or something? They're coming out of Bible school right and left. But where are they at? They get offended real quick. Well, what happened to the tough people? What happened to the ones that they think because they're going through a test and trial, don't they know they're being proven? That your faith is being tried. And what happens, people come out of Bible school and they're walking on somebody else's revelation to God and they didn't put it in their hearts. But I'm just praying because I want the will of God. He says, no. He said, you're going to even go faster. He says, matter of fact, I'm going to give you something that'll make you go faster. And he did. 7 months later, he gave me a jet to get around. And now you might shout, but you get an airplane, you need faith to keep it going. You get in there and they want $7 a gallon. You know, that thing's sucking it up while you're going at 43,000 feet. You got to develop your faith. You know, we was over in London last year and preaching. And we went over to Smith Wigglesworth House. And it's, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's only 3 stories high, 25 feet wide. And I said, I got thinking, my God, that man moved the world with his faith. They still got books they're still talking about out of that little old house. And I'm thinking, low maintenance, how wonderful. I got trucks, I got airplanes, I got all these things. I have to pay insurance on it and everything else. Part of the equipment to get around. Anyway, you got to develop your faith in those things, knowing that you have a supply.
Amen.
Well, one day we were flying, and we had Cindy was with us, Cindy Black, because she was singing in our crusades then, and we're just going at 28,000, just going along, and all of a sudden I heard a clunk clunk, and engines don't supposed to go clunk clunk. And it was on my side. I'm sitting there, right, I'm looking at clunk clunk, and. I look up there at Mitch, and Mitch, he's looking at, they're looking at the dials and everything else, and the oil, and everything was fine. So they said, we better go down. So we went down. Now, we could, if he turned that engine off, we could have landed with one. We could have landed if both of them went out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But that engine, it ran. They said, it's a miracle how that kept going. But when we got down, we found out that, now, this is a brand new engine. It's only have 150 hours. To rebuild these engines, it's $500,000. And that's what I'm thinking about. Amen. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm believing it's just a starter or something like that. Well, they got down and they got looking inside. I said, so I chartered another airplane. I had to get to Grand Rapids. Rockford is where we landed. Where's that at? Over Illinois, right over here. And we were going to Grand Rapids for Bob Lemon, and then my wife was going on to Michigan. She was preaching at another place. So they looked in there, and I just left it with Mitch and the pilot, and I got another airplane to take us because we had to preach that night. And so they got looking there the next day, and they said, it doesn't look good. And then finally the Whitney Patney people came out, and they looked at it, and they said, no, the thing is the blades in there got so hot that they started throwing metal out. You don't supposed to have metal going through those things. So they within 2 days they had a loaner engine. Cost you, you know, $100 an hour, but you put the loaner engine on, and then they took that engine in. Now here's the deal, making a long story short. The guy, when he got the engine, and I sent Mitch down there, my mechanic, and then Whitney Patney came out, and then they opened it up. There, everybody sees it. And when they opened it up, those blades just fell out. And they said, this engine's blowing. Only had 150 hours. You get 3,500 TBO before you overhaul them. So it's brand new. And I bought the airplane. You pay for the engines. You think the nice upholstery, but you really pay for those engines. $500,000 a piece, that's $1 million right there. And they opened it up, and they said, well, where's your warranty? You guys overhauled it. Yeah, but when you bought this airplane, we didn't know this, you're supposed to transfer the warranty. My heart's sinking. I mean, I'm thinking, well, we don't have one. He said, well, you're going to have to pay for this. You got quiet too, didn't you? What do you think about that? I said, you think about it. I mean, the thoughts are shooting at you like a machine gun. And I just didn't happen to have $500,000 in the bank that week. So they wrote a letter. They made out the report, and then they sent it to Whitney Patney, the ones that sold the blades. And the guy that overhauled it, he said, you see this right here? He said, I got 5 or 6 engines here, and they're in a lawsuit over it. It's been years. They're trying to get them to fix those because the fans went out on them. He said, it ain't going to work. He said, we'll send the letter in, you know, to give them a report. Well, that thing, I mean, I don't know if you've ever done this. I'm laying in bed and wake up in a cold sweat. And the devil said, I got you now. How you going to tell all your Eagle partners you bought this airplane and here it only had 150 hours on the engines and here it blew up? you're going to have to put a letter out. And you're going to have to beg for money. And nobody's going to help you pay for that engine. Especially if you tell them $500,000 for an engine on a jet. And finally, I got fed up with it. I shouldn't have put up with it the first night. But it went on and on. And it took them months and months, you know, to make up their mind. I had another engine we're using the airplane. But that every time I get in that airplane, those thoughts will start shooting. Where are you going to get the money to do this? So I got out of bed one night. He was just sitting there like he was on my chest, man. Now, he deals with us differently, all of us. But he's sitting there, bah, 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 with that thought right here. I said, no, that ain't my thought. No, that ain't my thought. No, that ain't my thought. I have a supply. I have a supply. That ain't my thought. See, you got to keep working at it until he goes. Resist him. You got to resist him in your thought life. He ain't going to appear to you. Ha! I got you. Well, you could just hit him, you know, but no. He's a spirit. You can't, but anyway. And finally, I got up. You know, we're over there. We don't have time to go over there where he says, plead your case. Come. And I went in, and I have an office there in my house. And I sat right here and behind the desk. I said, all right, Father, this is where you're sitting. Put another chair. Now, my lawyer, Jesus, is right here. And I sat on the other side of it, and I came and I pleaded my case. I said, now, Lord, you spoke to me when I was... Now, what am I doing? I'm pleading my case with him. You know, like you argue your case in a court. I'm just saying, you told me you was going to give me an airplane, and this thing ain't going to be a mill around my neck. I'm not going to sit and get, I have to work for that thing. That thing's going to work for me. So either you do, you know, I'm pleading my case. You said you was going to give me one, and you did. Now we got this problem with this engine. And so I pleaded my case, and then my lawyer's right here. Ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. I said, either you give me the $500,000, or you speak to them, or come another way. Or some, you know, they either send me the money or some, or them. And then I rest my case. See, the Bible says, cast in your care. I gave it to him. It's yours. Amen. 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 I said, it wouldn't make me, it'd make me look bad if that thing was sitting in the hangar and you couldn't use it when my partners helped me get it. Amen. My ego partners helped me get it. I said, and I meant this. I said, I just go all over and told him you didn't help me. You know, you're just going to have to get honest. So what did I do? I pleaded my case. And I gave it to him. And then every time the devil get his little thought machine gun out, I just say, don't talk to me about it. Go talk to the Father. It's in his hand. Then every month would go by, I'd ask, Mitch, did you hear yet? Did you hear yet? And we just had a good confession about it. He said, he kid around a little bit. I almost wanted to kill him. He said, yeah, Brother Ed, I got the letter. He went like that, and then he got a big grin on his face. And he read the letter. And they said that we admitted that the fans were faulty, and because the metal went through, we're going to pay for it. Now, there's one, listen, you got to be right. I said, now, I should pay for the 150 hours I use. See, some of you try to... You got to be right for all these things about people ain't right. You lie on your income tax and all this junk. You lie. And you're not right. You know, there's a lot, most Christians are not right. Yeah. I've got sinners that are more honest with me than some Christians. Well, moving right along since that went over a little bit. And they said, it's our fault, except... And I said this to the Lord. Now, Lord, I got to be right about this. We, when I bought it, already had 150 hours used on it. And we should pay for that. And they paid for the rest. What was it? Where's Mitch? $465,000, wasn't it, Mitch? Now, tell me what the guy said when he got that. He said, you tell that reverend, it's a bona fide miracle. I got these engines standing right here, and they won't going to fix them. In 40 years, that company has never done that. I got a brand new engine on there. I sit down there, listen to that. Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, those engines have, God created so it's got an ear to hear. And they did pay for it. I paid for it. I think my part was, what, $46,000, something like that, for it, and then the rest. Hallelujah. Now, I just brought that out, not to brag, but don't take the thought and say. It was tempting from those thoughts, the way they come. They say, now, where are we going to get the money? Oh, I know where I'm going to get it. Either he's going to give it to me, either they're going to pay for it. Amen. Or come some other way, but it's out there and it belongs to me. He ain't going to tell you to go to Africa or wherever you all go all over the world and not pay for it. That ain't a good employer to tell you now go over there and starve you out and get in coach way back there by the toilet and it stinks, you know, 15-hour flight. I just get up there in first class. And the reason I do that is because I buy a lot of jet fuel and I use my American Express and I got a lot of points. So I just get bumped up. I don't know if I helped you tonight or not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's on your side. It's on your side. You get in the Word of God and start getting your belief system. See, Christian's belief system. And another thing, quit running to every kind of meetings and companies. What did God put? Who's your supply? Dad Hagin was my supply. I stay with that. I don't understand these students today that now that Dad Hagin's gone, they go completely a different direction. If God puts you under him, then that's what you ought to be preaching. Amen. Come over here and say,
that's right.
Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
There's no use staying with something that's dying.
That's right.
Stay what God is doing. And we're in a new era. We're hip deep in it. Wait till it gets over. The Azusa Street Revival, they prophesied by in 100 years, that was in 1910. In 100 years, we got books out there on it, on the Azusa Street kids and their story. And they said in 2000, so that'd be 2010, he said that glory is going to come back into the church in a strong way. We're hip deep and weight gets over our heads. Glory be to God in the precious fruit of the earth. And God told me when I went to heaven that he wasn't going to put the precious fruit in the earth in the flesh church, but he's going to put it in the word and spirit church. Stand to your feet and let's give him praise. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sure great to be preaching among your own company. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God.
Ed Dufresne Ministries is going to the nations through a worldwide traveling ministry. Dr. Ed and Nancy Dufresne are the founders of World Harvest Church in Murrieta, California. Fresh Oil Fellowship is a ministerial organization founded by Dr. Ed Dufresne for those who are in the full-time fivefold ministry. Dr. Dufresne has a unique ability to draw the anointings and gifts out of ministers. Ministers come from around the globe to receive impartations through this man whose life is earmarked by the moving of the Holy Spirit. In 1971, a healing anointing came into Dr. Dufresne's hand, and since that time he has traveled throughout this nation and the world carrying that healing anointing to this generation. In 1999, Dr. Dufresne had the experience of going to heaven. During that experience, he received an endowment to kill cancer, and since that time, many have been miraculously healed of cancer. If you would like information about our teaching materials, about becoming a partner with Ed Dufresne Ministries, or about Fresh Oil Fellowship, please write us at P.O. Box 1010, Murrieta, California, 92564. or visit our website at www.eddufresne.org. To view many of our services by live stream, visit us on our website. At Ed Dufresne Ministries, we're believing God for 1 million miracles and healings as we carry God's healing power to this generation.